The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 18 through chapter 9, 1. Jeremiah was so upset watching his people reject God. It hurt him deeply. And I think, you know, it kind of reminded me, just as we see today, so much hate and so much violence, which goes against the teachings of Christ, and how much that must hurt God. But Jeremiah was a very, very persistent prophet, and here he's pleading with God to save his people. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. And the epistle lesson is from Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And the key word here is everyone. God loves everyone. Paul urges us to pray for everyone. And if I can find where I'm supposed to read here. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved. Everyone, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind. Christ Jesus himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Everyone. And the gospel lesson is taken from Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. Money is a hard and deceptive master. We often hear money is the root of all evil. No amount of money can provide health and happiness or eternal life. Jesus is saying here, let God be your master, not money. If you're able, would you please stand for the gospel? Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do? Now that my master is taking the position away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. So he said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, how much do you owe? And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little, whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whatever is dishonest, and whoever is dishonest in a very little, is dishonest also in much. If then, if you've not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you've not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
Our lessons, Jeremiah is a kind of a whiner and a complainer. It's by his very nature. He actually does this thing for about 10 chapters in the book of Jeremiah. It just goes worse and worse and worse. Matter of fact, a couple weeks ago we had a lesson from Jeremiah, and the book afterwards, which Jeremiah also wrote, is called Lamentations. The sad song. And he's really tuning up for the sad song here. He says, the joy is gone. The grief is upon us. So this man is not in a good mood, you know. The joy is gone, the grief is upon us. And then he has this kind of an ending to it. My heart is sick. And we don't know exactly whether Jeremiah is speaking for himself or as a prophet he's actually speaking for God. It is the cry of the human spirit. And all of us have moments in life when, I had a theory on this. My mother used to say, Keith, you have theories on everything, they just aren't all right. My theory is that most human beings can take one bad event or two. But it's when they start stacking up one after another, and you get those weights which be feel like they're crushing, and I think that's where Jeremiah is taken, is the crushing of the broken heart. And it does happen to all of us at some point in our lives where it's one straw too many upon the camel's back. And most of this stuff is caused in a lot of ways by the disruptions that come into our routines in our life, and especially as we grow older, we have more and more of these. Events that come up, and all of a sudden, all the things that you could do, you can't do no more. And there's these wake up calls that come along in life. We've had a couple of lately around my household that kind of remind us. First of all, just even the time of year. I love the fall as the summer comes in. But you know, most of you know that I've been a gardener all of my life, and you know that moment of bursting energy in May when you start thinking about what it's going to be like in that garden and be outside. You know, we in Northeast Ohio have been, you know, closed up for 3, 4, 5 months. You know, and then May comes along and, you know, you go down to Bloomin' Acres or something, you see all the flowers, you get started. And then June, you know, you put all that stuff out there. You keep waiting for July when it goes all over the place. In August, you finally get the harvest, right? And then comes September, and you're getting tired of the whole thing. it's kind of become one thing too many. Someone asked me this morning, they go, did you get any tomatoes out of your garden? I said, I haven't been out there in 3 days because I don't want to see. I've stopped looking. I'm tired of watering. all of those things kind of combine. So these disruptions are part of that. And especially, I think this week in particular, you know, we've had so many disruptions which are brought home to us in the world in which we live. I mean, this past week started, what, with the remembrance of 9/11, right? We all remembered where we were when the planes went into the buildings, and those, what, 2,800 people gone in an instant. And then the hard part for me was, you know, to remember that's 21 years ago. And we as Americans, taxpayers, you paid your taxes, right? Okay. You know, we put about $2 trillion into Afghanistan, 20 years of war, right? 7,000 young American lives were lost, right? Tens of thousands of soldiers, guys, and gals are crippled for the rest of their days. A few hundred, almost a quarter million people all together died in that one incident. And speaking as a man whose daughter was over there, all I kept telling my kid was, don't be the last one out. Don't be the last one out. So there's those frightening moments, that disruption. So that was bad enough. And then the queen passes away, right? 75 years this woman's been sitting, doing her thing. And did you see those lines? That people were waiting in line for 14 hours. Did you see that? To walk by. I know she was there for a long time. I know she's done a marvelous job in her world in many ways. But you know, as I kept seeing those crowds waiting for all those hours, I couldn't help but thinking that these are people who realize that the world is going to be changing now. And something that they've taken for granted for all these many years, now all of a sudden everything will be different, will be changed. And that sort of disruption sort of preys upon us. Not everybody feels the same way. My middle kid was over in England a couple weeks ago, and she, you know, like all children do, they send the old people back home a postcard. I'm having fun, you know, and she doesn't say she wishes she was here, but she wrote on this card back at the beginning of the month when the Queen was still alive. She says, "Dad," she said, This Queen's picture's on the front. She goes, "This old biddy is still trucking in her 90s. However, according to our tour guide, on the first day, the monarchy is completely useless." She called me up the other day. She says, "I feel bad about writing that." I say, "Well, but we have all in the moment said things that we regret later on, right? We've all done that. We have those moments of disruption in our life." So we had the Queen here. I had it this morning in my newspaper. I'm too shaky to bring the newspaper up, so I give it to the dog to walk the newspaper up, and I hang onto the railing. You all do that? Hang on the railings? Okay, well. Anyway, the dog brought the newspaper up, and this morning there was a little note in my newspaper from our newspaper carrier, whose name is Angel. I can remember when... Well, your daughter Stacy and Julie, when they used to deliver papers, Angel was working back then, but she wrote me this little note today. "Due to changes made by the company, I am being forced out and will no longer be your carrier as of September 21st, 2022. So I guess that's Wednesday, right? I want to thank all of you for being great, appreciative, understanding customers during my 23 years of service. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me." The world is being disrupted. And sometimes there's not a whole lot you can do about that. The disruptions come into our world. And like that note today, this morning, we all feel that this past week, we've done something in my family which we've done for long years. We went down to see the Akron Rubber Ducks play baseball on Thursday night because choir had off. So, you know, choir head off, so I said, "Well, we'll take you out for supper, and we'll go down and we'll see the baseball game," which they lost 10-1. It was not their best day. But we were down there, and even though I've been down in that area, because, you know, the stadium down in downtown Akron is near the hospital, I've been down there 1,000 times, at least 1,000 times. You're coming home, though, in the dark. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, you're not a very good driver in the dark anymore. And on top of it, you know, it's a normal story of Akron. You know, everything's tore up. The way that I've always come, you know, for all these years, you know, you come on the hospitals, you get on Highway 59, you go the expressway and you're home. You can't do that no more. So they take you this way, that way, the third way. I was so disoriented by the time I was getting to the expressway,
I pulled in front of another car. I shouldn't say this with my insurance agent sitting there. If it would not have been for that man with a better driver than I was, the car would have been gone. I didn't even see him. Didn't even see him. And I guess I was thinking about how often we did this, and all of a sudden you can't do these things like we used to. So there's disruptions come in life. There's many more. You guys can name them, but you see in the Beacon Journal, what was it, later in the week, Thursday, Friday, that because of the war in the Ukraine, there's 345 million people upon this earth who are probably poised at the edge of a famine. You see? Because the grains can't come to many countries. We've all seen the pictures of the borders. The scary things of people who are trying to get out of a world that you know has no life for them, and they come here, they're not, and they struggle here too. So we have all of those disruptions. A number of years back, I read a historian, Arnold Toynbee, wrote, and it's kept in my mind. It says the rise and fall of great civilizations depends on how we respond to the challenges that come in life. When I got back from the ball game and was safely in the garage, you know, I parked the car and I said, I'm not going out at night anymore. That's not what we call rising to the challenge. That's retreating and going away. He says the rise and fall, not only of civilizations, but we as people, depends upon how we react and respond to the challenges, because in every human life, the challenges are going to come. And as we get older, they become faster and they become more troubled and more problematic. I told you the story last week of going to my wife's nephew's funeral, and 52 years old. And towards the end, when it's part of your profession, you become interested in things. I became interested in Kevin was a nice young man. His wife, his widow was there, his daughter was behind her, they were crying. And I was thinking about how life is going to be changing for them. So rapidly, so in so many different ways, and here we have this, you know, this one service, this one time together to raise up our concerns before God and to place them into God's hands in a world which is moving all around them and in many ways is disrupted in so many ways. That's where I think about the gospel lesson for today. Jeremiah was right. Some days we feel like the joy is gone and the grief has settled around us and our hearts ache. And Jesus, when he talked about this very strange story in the Gospel of Luke, the story of the unjust steward, the guy is put in charge of this man's resources. And you have to remember, in Bible days, the land and was everything, the promised land, the holy land. It was the only permanent thing in life. People came and went. Things changed around us, but the land was supposed to be permanent. And here the steward was in charge of this man's land, and he's been dishonest. So he says, and he has an honest assessment, at least, of his own life. He says, I am too, some places I am too young or too old or too lazy to dig. I'm too weak to dig, and I'm too proud to beg. So what am I going to do when I lose my job? And he says, I know what I'll do. He says, I will call in my master's debtors, and I will do some fancy bookwork and shifty accounting. Sorry about that, Don. I know that bothers you. But the shifty accounting, he all of a sudden cuts down the bills that these folks owe to his master. And Jesus commends the dishonest steward, saying, you know, he says, at least he is willing to adapt to the circumstances. And I think the reason that Luke remembered this story is because Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he knows the cross awaits him. And there are many distractions that would keep him from going that direction. But life is pulling him, and the power of God and his obedience to God forces him along this pathway. I don't think this is a story about accounting or business practices or anything like that. I think this is a story of how do we keep going when all the world seems to be falling apart around us. And Jesus says at this point, it is important that you keep your eyes upon the goal. Keep your eyes upon the kingdom. Because he says, there will always be these disruptions. There will always be these tears that come in human life. And he says, there's two ways. We can either fold and give up, you know, or we can see it as a prologue, the beginning of some newness that's to come. Now, when I was standing there with my wife's nephew's family, they weren't quite ready to see any newness yet. They needed that time, like the prophet Jeremiah says, when the tears do come and they feel like buckets from our eyes. But he said, there is a newness that is coming and a promise that God has made that, one, we will be with him forever. Lo, I'm with you always, he says, even unto the close of this age. And I think that's where Jesus is taking the story. And how we respond to the disruptions in this world and how we respond to the challenges that come our way, that's what determines the kind of people that we'll be and the lives that we will have. And Jesus leaves with a question. He says, are you kingdom people or not? He followed his pathway all the way to Jerusalem. And you remember there are distractions where his disciples kept saying, let's go back to Galilee. Let's go back to Capernaum. Let's go back to healing people where you were positive and where crowds following you and thousands. And can you imagine how many times Jesus was asked just to turn around and not follow where God was leading him? But he said, the mission that he was given in this world is to die for the forgiveness of God's people's sins and that we might be with him forever. And what was it willing to cost? This disruption would cost him even his life. And so Jeremiah was right. There's certainly a lot of tears along the way, but we have to keep in, especially into our world. The Apostle Paul, he had a little bit different plan. He says, hey, what is it? Love all people. Can you imagine saying that to the scribes and Pharisees who said, you know what? There's prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors. There's all these people out there who we don't want. Paul says, you may not want them, but God does. You may not like them, but God does. And he encourages us to take those good hard looks at those very disruptive, challenging parts to our life. I don't know how it'll work out for the people in England. I know they're in for a lot of changes. I don't know how it's going to work out for my newspaper carrier. I still miss her. And I'll really miss the newspaper. That's one of the other things that happens as you get older. You find you're the last person to do everything. I'm the last person to go in and talk to a teller. But I figure maybe a teller would like to see somebody say hello. I'm the last person on my road to get a newspaper. I suppose that's probably what this is all about. But sometimes we're the last of everything, but that's all right. Because God still has plans for us. And so that's Jesus' word. The unjust steward says even the unjust steward knows how to keep to the goal to be people of God. Let's join together in our prayers, and then we'll do a coffee hour and some desserts. Gracious Lord, we have gathered here this day because there are many disruptions in life. There are certainly frightening aspects all over our world. And so often we are all tempted to point the fingers at someone else, what went wrong, where the problem is, why this is happening. But the truth of the matter is, disruptions come in all human lives. And when our tears come to our eyes, and they will, help us to remember that you still have some plans for us yet. Give us courage for those places and plans and dreams and hopes that don't come to fruition in our lives. Give us courage to face those things that we could no longer do. Grant us that peace and serenity to know the things that must change. We ask, dear Lord, for these gifts as your people, as we proceed forward on the Sabbath, the first day of the week, to whatever you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Let the congregation sing. Mm-hmm.